wife, followed by a few not-so-nice words. Brianna tapped him on his shoulder again.
Hey, Mr. Baldy, did you see those huge rats up on that stage? Boy, were they scary.
That was the last straw for the tux guy. He turned beet red, stood up, stomped over to an usher, and demanded that he and his wife be given new seats. I wanted to grab hold of his coattails, drop to my knees, and beg desperately, "Please, sir, take me with you, please." I had to get a break from Brianna before I totally lost it.
"I'll be right back," I said to my parents. "I'm going to find some water or a ride home, if I'm lucky." "Wait, Nikki, I want to go too," Brianna whined.
"I'll be right back, Brianna."
"But I need to go to the bathroom."
"Nikki, could you take your sister to the bathroom, please?" Mom asked.
Darn it!
I wanted to argue with Mom, but if Brianna had an accident while we were discussing the matter, I knew Mom was going to blame me. And I was pretty sure the concession stand didn't sell Pampers in her size.
"Come on, Brianna," I grumped.
"Thank you, dear," Mom smiled. "I appreciate it."
Once we got to the bathroom, I tried my best to be patient with Brianna. "Now hurry up and go, okay? The show will be starting again soon, and we want to get back to our seats before they dim the lights."
"Don't rush me,"
Brianna said and stuck her tongue out at me. As she walked into the stall, her eyes lit up.
"Hey, look at all of this toilet paper." "Oh, goody. Now I can pretend my arm is broken and wrap it up," she squealed happily.
"Just great," I sighed. This was going to take forever. I waited for 3 long minutes. "Brianna, are you done yet?"
"Almost. Now I'm wrapping up my broken head."
"You're broken what?" "Brianna, let's go now."
"But I still have to use the bathroom."
"Fine. I'll be waiting for you on that bench right outside the bathroom door. When you get done, wash your hands and come right out. Okay?"
"Okay. Nikki, do you have any glue?"
I made a mental note to self. If, during my lifetime, Mom ever asks me to take Brianna to the bathroom again, run away screaming. I hadn't been sitting on the bench for more than a minute when I noticed a long line of people waiting to buy these huge gourmet cupcakes in a fancy glass display case on the other side of the lobby. I guess Brianna's obsessive rambling about chocolate cake must have affected my subconscious or something, because I could almost hear the double fudge chocolate cupcakes calling my name. Soon, the line had dwindled down to 2 people, and Brianna was still nowhere in sight. That's when I decided to make a mad dash to buy a cupcake. It wasn't my fault that by taking Brianna to the bathroom I had worked up a tremendous appetite. They were way overpriced at $7 each. But they were the most large, most moist, most luscious, most chocolatey cupcakes I had ever seen in my entire life. The sales clerk guy placed it in a fancy white box, and I carefully placed it in my purse. Of course, me being the responsible older sister that I was, I never took my eyes off that bathroom door for more than a few seconds. Or minutes. I started to get a little worried because they were flashing the house lights, which meant intermission was about to end, and I was still waiting for Brianna to come out of the bathroom. So, you can imagine my surprise when I turned around and spotted a frilly red Princess Sugarplum dress at the drinking fountain on the other side of the lobby. I rushed right over. "There you are, Brianna! You were in the bathroom forever! We need to get back to our seats right now. Come on." I grabbed her hand and pulled her through the lobby. That's when she stared up at me with the most
horrified look on her face. My brain was still trying to figure out how Brianna had gotten curly red hair, freckles, and glasses. But my mouth came up with the answer and suddenly blurted, "Hey, you're not Brianna!"
"Mommy!"
the little girl cried.
"Stranger danger! Stranger danger!"
Startled, I dropped her hand and backed away. "My bad," I apologized. "I thought you were someone else. Sorry." Then I rushed back to the bathroom to try to find my little sister. "Brianna, are you in here? Brianna?" I screamed as I checked every stall, but she was nowhere to be found. My heart started to pound and my palms got really sweaty. I frantically ran back out into the hall and scanned the lobby. Still no Brianna. That's when I started to panic. OMG. What if she's lost forever? The terrifying thought overwhelmed me. I couldn't imagine life without my little sister, even though she was a Category 5 hurricane in pigtails. I was so distraught, I even started to miss Miss Penelope. I vowed that if I found Brianna, I'd buy a new purple pen and personally give Miss Penelope a glamorous makeover. Miss Penelope's makeover. But now I had to go back into that theater and tell Mom and Dad I had somehow lost Brianna. I was hoping, praying, Brianna had just wandered back into the auditorium. If only she was back in her seat, safe and sound, torturing the people sitting nearby by kicking their seats, singing her obnoxious little song, and chatting with Mr. Baldy. The ballet had already started up again by the time I got to my row. This meant I had to crawl over about a dozen highly annoyed people. "Excuse me, I need to get through. Was that your foot? Sorry, I apologize. Oops." By the time I got to my seat, my eyes were finally starting to adjust to the darkness. I fully expected to see Brianna come into focus at any second.
"What took you so long?"
Mom whispered really loudly.
"We were starting to worry. Nikki, dear,
where's Brianna?" I opened my mouth, but at first no words came out.
"She's not here? I thought maybe she came back to her seat."
Mom's expression shifted from curiosity to alarm.
"What?"
she said even louder. Of course, everyone shot her dirty looks.
I was waiting for her in the bathroom and she just vanished."
"Did you check all the stalls?"
"Yes, 3 times.
Dear?" Dad tapped Mom's arm nervously. His eyes were frozen on the stage.
"How about the lobby and the concession stand?" Mom continued. "Maybe she saw some candy."
"Mom, I looked everywhere."
"Well, let's not panic. Maybe she's playing in the elevators. Let's go back out to the lobby and..."
"Dear, you really need to see this," Dad interrupted again.
"What could possibly be more important right now than trying to find..."
That's when Mom and I looked up at the stage.
"Brianna!"
we both screamed. Clara and the Nutcracker Prince were making their grand entrance to the Land of Sweets in an extravagant boat, with a little stowaway in the back seat, who was festively draped in what looked like a full roll of toilet paper.
"Brianna!"
Mom called out to her, but either Brianna couldn't hear Mom or she was ignoring her. Brianna seemed almost hypnotized by the candy cane trees, gumdrop bushes, and the humongous cupcake castle on the stage. But the really scary part was that she had this mischievous grin that went from ear to ear. The confused audience immediately noticed Brianna on stage in her toilet paper outfit. Most of them scratched their heads and whispered to each other. No one seemed to remember there being a pint-sized mummy in the Nutcracker. Clara and the Nutcracker Prince, still all smiles, stared back at the audience with perplexed looks on their faces. But when they finally turned and saw Brianna standing there smiling and waving at the audience, they totally freaked. Clara frantically whispered something to the prince. He then leaned over, picked up Brianna, and tried to carry her off the stage. But Brianna stubbornly held on to the boat for dear life. Finally, he gave up and just left her there. When the dancers took the stage, they didn't notice Brianna right away either. Some of them were dressed as cookies and others as candy. Then came the dancing chefs holding trays of pies, cupcakes, and assorted pastries.
"That's what I'm talking about!"
Brianna screamed and jumped out of the boat. She bolted for the dancers like a crazy bull. Mom, Dad, and I ran toward the stage as fast as we could. The moment felt surreal and like we were moving in slow motion.
"Brianna!" Mom cried.
"No!" But there was no way we could get there before she started her feeding frenzy. First, she grabbed a male dancer by the ankle and bit into his chocolate boot. She made a face.
"Yuck! That's not chocolate!"
The dancer shook her off his leg. Next, Brianna ran to a candy ballerina and grabbed her tutu. The ballerina stopped dancing and tugged back. But a piece of her tutu ripped off in Brianna's hand, and Brianna shoved it into her mouth.
"Ew!"
She spat it out and frowned.
"That's not cotton candy!"
Almost all the characters stopped dancing and scrambled off the stage to avoid being eaten alive. Soon, the only dancer left was a clueless chef carrying a huge chocolate cake. He was totally focused on executing a series of grand pliés.
"Run, run!"
the frenzied audience chanted excitedly.
I couldn't believe it.
I expected people would be walking out booing or at least throwing rotten veggies. But their butts were glued to their seats, and their eyes to the stage like they were watching the last 10 minutes of a Super Bowl game and the score was tied. Brianna spotted the huge cake and just stared at it in awe. When the chef finally caught a glimpse of Brianna, he suddenly stopped dancing and looked like he was about to wet his pants. Brianna ran across the stage and lunged for the chef like a football player making a tackle. The chef screamed, threw the chocolate cake up in the air, and dove into the orchestra pit. There was a crash and a loud, off-key note from the tuba. It was quite obvious what musician the dancing chef had landed on. Brianna triumphantly grabbed the cake and took a huge bite out of it just as we made it to the stage.
"Brianna, you come down here this instant," Mom ordered.
Brianna lifted her head from the cake. Her face was smeared with chocolate frosting, and her mouth was so full she looked like a blowfish. After chewing for a few seconds, she frowned. Perplexed and disappointed, Brianna pointed at the fake pastry.
"This isn't chocolate cake," she said.
I barely made out what she was saying, but I saw white styrofoam where she'd bitten a huge chunk out of the cake.
"There's no real food up here. It's all just props," I scolded. "I can't believe you did this."
"Is this a joke? Not funny," she pouted.
"Brianna Lynn Maxwell," Mom shouted and gave her the death stare. "Don't make me come up there." Uh-oh. Mom meant business.
"Yes, ma'am,"
Brianna finally mumbled in defeat. She spat out the faux cake and jumped from the stage into Mom's arms. Then the most shocking thing happened. The dancers, the orchestra, and the audience gave Mom a standing ovation for single-handedly bringing the Nutcracker catastrophe to an end. And get this. After Brianna had pretty much obliterated the Nutcracker ballet, she actually had the nerve to wave and blow kisses to everyone, like she was on that Toddlers and Tiaras show or something. I felt a lot better when a 10-minute intermission was announced so the dancers could prepare to start the second act over again. And then the house lights came on. As we left the theater, the audience was still laughing and cheering for Brianna, including Mr. Baldy. It was hard to believe those stuffy folks actually loved the Nutcracker Ballet as a slapstick comedy. We piled into the car and rode home in silence, mostly because no one had the energy to lecture Brianna. If she had been my child, I would have dropped her off at the nearest mental hospital for a psychiatric evaluation. Or better yet, the city zoo. Lions, tigers, Brianna. But she wasn't my child. Thank goodness. Even though I wanted to be angry at Brianna, deep down I was happy and relieved that she was okay. It felt good to be home again, but my poor mom and dad were so exhausted they went straight to bed. Being the responsible older daughter than I am, I assured my parents I would see to it that Brianna got into her PJs and safely tucked in. I was surprised that she didn't whine and complain like she usually does at bedtime. She just hung her head, trudged upstairs, and changed into her SpongeBob pajamas. I felt kind of sorry for her. In a way, all of this was mostly our fault. We had overemphasized the whole sugary dessert theme of the Nutcracker. Brianna was just a little kid. How was she supposed to know all the scenery and the chocolate cake was fake? That's when I suddenly remembered my cupcake, and my mouth started to water all over again. I rushed downstairs to pour myself a tall, cold glass of milk. I couldn't wait to get back to my room and sink my teeth into that luscious, chocolatey cupcake while I wrote in my diary. When I passed Brianna's room, I could tell she was still pretty upset. Even with her door closed, I could hear her sniffling and muttering to herself. However, I froze in my tracks when I heard her sing what had to be the saddest song ever. No sugar plums, cookies, or candy. The cupcake castle was flat. The chocolate cake was really fake. Sometimes I'm such a brat. I carefully placed my cupcake and glass of milk on the floor in front of her door. Then I knocked on her door. By the time Brianna opened it, I'd already dashed to my room and flopped across my bed. I heard her squeal in delight.
Chocolate cake! Thank you, Princess Sugarplum. You made my wish come true.
You're welcome, I said aloud to myself and smiled. Who would have thunk this night would turn out so well? Brianna didn't end up on the side of a milk carton as a missing child. The audience seemed to enjoy her antics in that wacky comedy ballet reality show, and Mom and Dad were too exhausted to ground me for the rest of my life for losing Brianna. But most important, I discovered that giving away something you cherish to someone you love can actually make you happier than keeping it. I guess that's what the holidays are all about. Oh, crud! I think I'm starting to sound like one of Mom's sappy greeting cards. Maybe my family isn't so bad after all.
Not!
Sunday, December 22nd. When we got home from church this morning, it was snowing like crazy, and by noon we had gotten a total of 4 inches. As far as I was concerned, it was the perfect weather to curl up in front of the fireplace and sip hot cocoa with marshmallows. But no, my parents forced me to go outside in near blizzard conditions for the stupidest reason. They wanted to build a snowman for Brianna. Mom got all excited and said it would be a wonderful project for family sharing time. But I already knew it was going to be a major disaster. It was Dad's bright idea to make a life-size snowman. He was off to a really good start as his snowball grew bigger and bigger and bigger. Then, unfortunately, he lost control of it on a hill. Dad.
Eek!
So, are we having fun yet? Well, there was good news and bad news. The good news was that Brianna ended up with a life-size snowman just like Dad had promised her. But the bad news was that Dad was the life-size snowman. After he ran down that big hill, he dived headfirst into this huge snowbank. Then his snowball landed right on top of him. Crunch! OMG! It took us 10 minutes just to dig him out. And by the time we got to him, he had new frostbite on top of the old frostbite he'd gotten from the snowblower fiasco. I felt so sorry for him, especially since he was run over by that snowball while trying to do something nice for Brianna. I just hope Dad isn't traumatized and suffering from some weird illness like snowmanophobia. At this point, I don't think we're going to be building any more snowmen anytime soon. Thank goodness. Which allows me even more free time to curl up in front of the fireplace, drink hot cocoa with marshmallows, and write in my diary. I almost forgot. I still need to go shopping and buy a few more presents. I've decided to give Brandon a Christmas present, too. He's such a sweetheart. I just have to figure out something he'd really like. Maybe a gift certificate for a romantic spaghetti dinner for two at Giovanni's? Squee! Monday, December 23rd. Every year, I wait until the very last minute to do my Christmas shopping. I sneak out of the house with Brianna and we ride my bike in the snow to the nearest drugstore. Since I don't have my driver's license yet, we're basically forced to shop at the closest place we can get to before we catch pneumonia. That's why Mom and Dad always get tacky presents, like a family-sized pack of toothbrushes from me and gummy vitamins from Brianna. But this year, I wanted to get them something special that they'd really like. You know, in addition to the toothbrushes and vitamins. I was so happy when I saw this huge bin of scrapbooks on sale. It was buy one, get four free. I was really lucky to stumble upon such a great holiday sale. Or maybe the store was just trying to pawn them off on unsuspecting customers so there'd be less junk to throw away at the end of the shopping season. Anyway, seeing those scrapbooks really got my creative juices flowing. I decided to buy one as a gift for Mom and Dad. I planned to use my advanced skills in arts and crafts to create a beautiful new cover. It would be perfect for our family photos. And since I was getting four extra scrapbooks for free, I decided to give one to Chloe, Zoe, Brianna, and Brandon, too. Was I not brilliant? I'd make Chloe and Zoe each a special scrapbook about our friendship. And I knew Brianna would love anything with Princess Sugarplum on the cover. But then I started thinking about Brandon. What if he actually ended up moving away? I wanted to give him something to remind him of our friendship and all the fun times we'd had. Like the art competition, the Halloween party, and the talent show. And even that time I actually thought I'd lost my diary at school. Suddenly, I started feeling really sad, right there in the cold flu and allergy medicine aisle. I really wanted to help Brandon by skating in the Holiday on Ice show. I was also scared to death that I couldn't pull it off. If only I could find someone to skate in my place. I sighed and tried to swallow the huge lump in my throat. Sometimes it felt like I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. Just as I was about to go through the checkout, I saw a familiar face in the lip gloss section of the cosmetics aisle. It was Mackenzie. My heart skipped a beat. Maybe there was hope for Brandon after all. If I put aside my ego and simply asked, begged her for help, maybe she would consider skating in my place. OMG! Hi, Mackenzie. I didn't know you shopped here, I said, all friendly-like. She looked at me and scowled. Nikki, what are you doing here? Why aren't you hanging out with your dorky little friends at McTaco Hut or somewhere? She said. I was dreading our conversation would go like this, but it was my fault. I should have appealed to her huge ego and opened with flattery.
I absolutely love your lip gloss. The color brings out the highlights in your eyes, I gushed.
Well, you should try that new peachy color. It'll complement your mustache hairs.
I could not believe she said that right to my face.
Hey, I've seen pigs wear lip gloss and look better than you, I muttered under my breath.
What did you just say?
She snapped. We stared at each other. It was so awkward. I needed her help, so I lied through my teeth.
I said, "Hey, I see pink lip gloss looks good on you."
Why are you even talking to me, Nikki?
Well, it's about Holiday on Ice. I know you wanted to skate for Fuzzy Friends, and now I'm having second thoughts.
You're actually having thoughts? I'm impressed.
I just ignored her comment.
Mackenzie, I want to ask you a big favor.
What, a donation to your plastic surgery fund for the removal of mustache hair? I ignored that comment, too.
Would you take my place and skate with Zoe and Chloe for Holiday on Ice? We really need that money to keep Fuzzy Friends open.
I'm surprised you didn't just ask me.
I've wanted to ask you since last week. You're one of the best skaters in the show. If I mess this up, Brandon will be crushed, and it'll all be my fault.
Mackenzie looked amused and smiled.
Yes, you're absolutely correct, she said.
OMG, is that a yes? You'll skate for me? I exclaimed happily.
I could not believe Mackenzie had actually said yes. It was a miracle.
No, that's a yes that Brandon will be crushed and it will be your fault. Sorry, Nikki, but if you were on fire, I wouldn't spit on you.
What about Brandon? Then at least do it for him. If anything happens to Fuzzy Friends, he's going to be heartbroken.
I know, she said smugly. Actually, I'm counting on it. Who is going to be there for Brandon when he needs a shoulder to cry on after his stupid little shelter closes? Me, that's who. And the best part is that he's going to hate you for letting him down. And that's just the way I want it.
Then Mackenzie cackled like a witch.
I just stood there in shock. I could not believe anything breathing could be that evil.
It's quite obvious that Mackenzie has set me up. Again, I am so sick of her little mind games. But I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to get even by believing in myself and skating my butt off. And I'm going to be strong and fierce and, of course, wear a super cute outfit. I'll be more deadly than that Terminator guy. I'm going to be the Skaternator.
Anyway, all the scrapbooks I made turned out really cute. And the pages Brianna decorated for Mom and Dad were, quite interesting. I planned to wrap all the scrapbooks and then deliver Chloe's and Zoe's on Christmas Eve. I decided to just leave Brandon's in the mailbox at Fuzzy Friends since he spends so much time there anyway. I think he's going to be super surprised I actually made a special gift for him. To Brandon, from Nikki. Now he'll have a special place to keep all his photos. I just hope he likes it. Tuesday, December 24th.
Today is Christmas Eve. One of Mom's favorite winter craft projects is knitting matching sweaters for our family. This year, it's a fairly hideous snowman sweater with a string of plastic ornaments trimming the collar. The sweater is blue and has one red sleeve, one green sleeve, and a huge 3D snowman on the front. Our names were knitted in 6-inch yellow letters across the back. I thought about sending mine off to Guinness World Records as an entry for ugliest sweater in the history of mankind.
I didn't care about setting a record. I just wanted to get rid of the darn thing before someone actually made me wear it. But it was too late.
Hey, honey, let's take a family picture in these pretty sweaters.
Dad set up his camera, and we gathered in front of our Christmas tree. Then he set the timer and quickly took his place next to Mom.
Okay, everyone say cheese, he said.
However, right before the flash went off, Brianna must have decided she wanted a little snack or something, because suddenly she turned and yanked at a candy cane hooked on a tree branch. OMG! I couldn't believe the whole tree fell over. It was totally a Maxwell family moment. I laughed so hard my ribs hurt. I have to admit, this family portrait is now my favorite. Unfortunately, Mom decided we looked so adorable in our snowman sweaters, she wants us all to wear them to dinner at my Aunt Mabel's house tomorrow. I was like, just great. My Aunt Mabel is not exactly my favorite relative. It was going to be like having dinner with Auntie Scrooge. This is the woman who still insists that I sit at the dreaded kitty table. Any holiday spirit I had leaked right out of me. Just thinking about the kitty table made me so anxious. I thought I was going to have a complete meltdown. To survive this ordeal, I was going to need nothing short of a Christmas miracle. Wednesday, December 25th. Today is Christmas Day. Brianna woke us up by banging on our bedroom doors and screaming hysterically, just like she does every year. And it's always the exact same story.
Wake up, everybody! Wake up! Me and Miss Penelope just saw Santa and his reindeer leaving. They flew right off our roof and over Mrs. Wallbanger's house. Wake up! It's an emergency!
Then we all rush downstairs in our pajamas to see what Santa has left and open our presents together. As usual, Brianna got a ton of stuff. Mom and Dad loved the scrapbook that Brianna and I made, which included that hilarious photo of our Christmas tree falling over. But the very best present was my brand new cell phone! Squee! Soon, it was time to go to my Aunt Mabel's for our holiday dinner. Dad says his oldest sister is just old-fashioned and kind of strict. But I think strict is just a nicer word for mean. Me. Merry Christmas. Aunt Mabel. Thanks, dear. Now quit slouching and close your mouth, too, or you're going to attract flies. Mom says Aunt Mabel acts like that because she thinks kids should be seen and not heard. Personally, I think Aunt Mabel just hates kids because she has 9 of them. OMG! If I gave birth 9 whole times, I wouldn't want to see them or hear them. I'm just saying. But get this. I'm 14 years old, and that evil woman still made me sit at the kitty table. The adults sat in the dining room at a hand-carved antique table with Queen Anne chairs, fancy porcelain china, crystal glasses, and gold-plated silverware. The kitty table was a wobbly, child-sized card table covered with a worn-out bedsheet. We got paper plates, plastic forks, and those teeny-tiny paper cups. You know, the ones you use in your bathroom when you brush your teeth. And sitting at the kitty table while wearing my snowman sweater meant I was twice as humiliated. The whole thing was a very traumatic experience. Thank goodness the food was delicious, or it would have been a totally worthless visit. My Aunt Mabel is as mean as a pit bull, but she's an excellent cook. Anyway, I was really happy when we finally made it back home because I got to play around with my new cell phone. I cannot believe all the cool stuff it has, like internet, texting, email, instant messaging, games, camera, homework help, automatic pizza delivery, and a teen peer counseling hotline. OMG!
If cell phones paid an allowance, parents would be obsolete. Brianna went nuts because my phone came with the game Princess Sugarplum Saves Baby Unicorn Island. I let her play it for an hour right before bedtime, and now she's, like, totally addicted. My new phone is going to save me a ton of money. Now, whenever I need to bribe Brianna to do something, I simply pay her with Princess Sugarplum game minutes instead of cash. It took me a while to figure it out, but I took a picture of me with my phone and sent it to Chloe, Zoe, and Brandon. They are going to be super shocked and surprised when they receive it. Overall, my Christmas was pretty good. It started snowing outside and actually looked like a winter wonderland. Then Dad lit the fireplace and we all roasted marshmallows together. Again. Only this time, Dad's pants didn't catch on fire. I have to admit, once you get used to them, having a family to hang out with can be kind of nice. I wonder how Brandon's Christmas is going. It's really admirable that he helps out his grandparents by volunteering at Fuzzy Friends. I throw a hissy fit when I have to clean my room and put dishes in the dishwasher. I'm such a spoiled brat, and I don't really appreciate the blessings I have, like my family. It's just mind-boggling how he's lost pretty much everything, yet he continues to have so much to give. Now, that's truly a Christmas miracle. Thursday, December 26th. Today was our first practice session with Victoria Steele, the Holiday on Ice show director and Olympic gold medalist figure skater. Everyone participating in the show received a welcome letter and a list of rules. Victoria Steele's show rules. Number 1, no autographs. Number 2, no gum chewing. Number 3, no ugly skating outfits. Number 4, no hairy legs. All skaters are to be prompt, courteous, and prepared. Unsportsmanlike behavior will not be tolerated, and any violation will result in automatic dismissal from the Holiday on Ice show. Good luck, Victoria Steele. All we have to do now is survive 3 days of practice with Victoria. My biggest fear is that she's going to kick me out of the show like she did to that poor girl last year. Chloe insisted it was probably just a rumor, but I wasn't taking any chances. After scrounging around in our garage, I found the perfect costume for our first practice. I was a nervous wreck when Mom dropped me off for practice at the ice arena. All I could think of was Brandon having to start a new school in January without any friends. Since I didn't want anyone to see my costume, I avoided the crowded locker room and got dressed in a small bathroom on the far side of the arena instead. I stared at my reflection in the mirror and smiled. I knew I looked ridiculous. But if my plan worked, at least I'd make it through the first practice. By the time I made my way back to the rink, most of the skaters were already on the ice practicing, including Chloe and Zoe. I was amazed at how graceful they were, and I couldn't help but feel proud of them. Near the main entrance, a large crowd surrounded Victoria. She was pretty, and looked surprisingly similar to the girl on the cover of The Ice Princess. Fans took pictures of her with their cell phones and waited in line for an autograph. And like a pop star, she traveled with her own entourage and security detail. As Victoria rushed past me, she took off her sunglasses and let out an irritated sigh. Let's get this over with. I just hope this group is better than last year's. Can someone get me a water? I'm about to die of thirst. Her staffers scrambled in different directions, and within 30 seconds, two assistants and two security guys offered her bottled waters. OMG! You expect me to drink water from a plastic bottle? She shrieked. One thing was quite obvious. The woman was a spoiled diva. The assistant director asked all the skaters to take a seat in the first two rows. He then introduced Victoria as the skaters cheered excitedly. In spite of her meltdown over the bottled water situation,
she immediately plastered a fake smile on her face.
So, who'd like to impress me first? She asked, eyeing the list of names on her clipboard.
Let's start with a group. How about...
My heart skipped a beat. Please don't call us. Please don't call us. Please don't call us. I chanted inside my head.
Chloe, Zoe, and Nikki.
Front and center. Chloe and Zoe quickly scrambled onto the ice.
Why do I only see two of you instead of three?
Victoria asked with a highly annoyed glare.
Nikki should be here somewhere,
Zoe answered and glanced nervously at Chloe.
Here I am, I said as I carefully made my way onto the ice.
Chloe and Zoe took one look at me, gasped, and shrieked.
Nikki, what happened?
That's when I realized my fake cast made from toilet paper and white duct tape actually looked pretty real. Especially with Dad's old crutches from that time he went bungee jumping.
Don't worry, it's not as bad as it looks, I answered.
OMG, is it broken?
Chloe asked.
You poor thing, Zoe exclaimed.
I'm fine, really, I said, and kind of winked.
Chloe and Zoe looked at me and then at each other. I think they got the hint.
So you're Nikki? Victoria asked, staring me down.
I'm really sorry about your accident, but I have a show to run here. You three are just going to have to participate next year.
Sorry, girls.
No, please. Actually, it's just a little sprain. My doctor assured me I'd be fine by
tomorrow, I stammered. That's when Victoria suddenly narrowed her eyes at my cast and stared at me suspiciously.
So your doctor uses duct tape?
Then she put her hands on her hips and yelled.
Is this some kind of joke? Security, get that girl off my ice!
I could not believe that crazy lady actually called security on me like that.
She's nuts!
Chloe and Zoe, get into position! Now! I want to see this routine, she shouted. But I'm warning you, if the three of you are not ready to skate tomorrow, you'll be disqualified.
Understood?
We nodded. As I hurried off the ice, I gave Chloe and Zoe a thumbs up, and they smiled at me nervously. As long as I wasn't out there messing things up, they were going to do fine. And I was right. They both skated flawlessly, and Victoria was both surprised and impressed. I decided not to hang around for the rest of the practice session. I'd had quite enough of Victoria Steele for one day, and I was sure the feeling was mutual. I hobbled back to the bathroom, anxious to ditch the uncomfortable crutches and itchy cast. I was about to call my mom to pick me up when an uninvited guest barged into the bathroom. It was Mackenzie. And boy, was she ticked.
You're a pathetic little phony.
I was going to bat my eyes all innocent-like and completely deny the whole fake cast thing. But then I realized my crutches were leaning against the wall and I was standing there perfectly fine on my injured ankle. Oops. Phony or not, my personal health issues were none of Mackenzie's business.
You're calling me a phony? I huffed. You're wearing so many hair extensions and so much lip gloss, the fire marshal has declared you a fire hazard due to a high risk of spontaneous combustion.
OMG, Mackenzie was so angry, I thought her head was going to explode. She stared at me with her beady little eyes and hissed.
I've already warned Victoria about you. Make one more wrong step, and she'll throw you out of the show faster than a 10-day-old moldy pizza.
Then she turned and sashayed away.
I hate it when Mackenzie sashays.
I could not believe she was trying to boss me around like that.
I mean, just who does she think she is?
The ice skating police?
Anyway, the good news is that I actually survived the first Holiday on Ice practice session with Victoria the Dragon Lady. One down and two more to go. Friday, December 27th. After Victoria threatened us yesterday, I didn't dare show up with that fake cast again. I had tossed and turned most of the night, trying to come up with another plan. But the sad truth was that it was pretty much over for me. As soon as Victoria took one look at me, skating, scooting around on the ice, she was going to kick Chloe, Zoe, and me right out of her show. And it didn't help that Mackenzie was probably telling her awful stuff about me, like that I stole Fuzzy Friends and my broken leg was fake. Well, okay, so maybe the broken leg thing was fake. But still, it was none of that girl's business. When Victoria started screaming at the music guy, the lights guy, and the wardrobe guy, OMG, that crazy lady did a lot of screaming. I decided to sneak away and hide out up in the stands for a few minutes. Then I could have my massive panic attack in private. I was deep in thought, pondering my hopeless situation, when a very familiar voice startled me. So, what does it feel like to be an ice princess?
Brandon, what are you doing here?
I gasped. I came to thank you for making me that awesome scrapbook, and to cheer on Team Fuzzy Friends.
This guy was too nice to be real. The possibility that he might move away was just too depressing.
Suddenly, I was overcome with emotion. I had to bite my lip to keep from bursting into tears. Brandon's warm smile slowly vanished, and he just stared at me in silence.
Nikki, are you okay? What's wrong?
I'm sorry, Brandon, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to earn that money to help Fuzzy Friends. I'm just so sorry. I really am.
What do you mean?
No one expects you to be a pro. Just being in the show is enough.
No, it's not. I have to be able to skate in the show. And I can't. But I didn't know that at the time I volunteered to help. Honest.
Come on, Nikki. You can't be that bad.
Brandon, listen to me. I'm that bad. No, actually, I'm worse. I seriously expect to get kicked out of the show after we skate today.
Brandon blinked his eyes in disbelief.
Victoria requires that skaters be prepared to skate, and I'm not. I can barely stand on the ice, let alone skate on it.
We just sat there in silence as the sheer hopelessness of my situation sank in. If I didn't skate, Fuzzy Friends would close and Brandon would be moving. And if I did skate, Fuzzy Friends would close and Brandon would be moving. It was a lose-lose situation.
I'm sorry, Nikki. I wish there was something I could do, Brandon muttered as he stared down at Victoria, who was now screaming at the Zamboni guy.
My heart started to pound when she announced over the speaker system that Chloe, Zoe, and I were up next. Brandon gave me a weak smile.
Break a leg. Actually, try not to break a leg. Sorry.
Thanks, I said, smiling at his little joke. Brandon didn't know it, but I'd already tried using that broken leg thing on Victoria.
Been there, done that.
When I got down to the rink, I could tell Chloe and Zoe were super nervous too, but they were trying their best not to show it.
Okay, Team Fuzzy, group hug,
Chloe said, and did her jazz hands to try to lighten the mood. Somehow I made it onto the ice and got into position without falling, and just as our music began, I saw Brandon approach Victoria with his camera and tap her on the shoulder. When she turned around, he introduced himself and pointed to his camera. Apparently, Victoria was immediately charmed by his professionalism, good manners, and smile. Which was a really good thing, because our skating routine was not going so well. Coincidentally, or not, Brandon's impromptu photo shoot lasted until the final note of our music. And when Victoria finally turned around, we plastered big smiles on our faces and struck a super fierce pose, like we were the top three finalists on America's Next Top Model or something. No one ever would have guessed I had just fallen 4 times during our 3-minute routine. OMG! I'd spent so much time sliding around on my butt, it had frostbite. Victoria just stared at us with this strange look on her face as we held our breath. "Great job, girls," she finally said, and turned to her assistant. "Where is my cappuccino? Am I supposed to run this show and do your job?" Brandon gave me a huge smile and winked. I wanted to melt into a puddle right there on the ice. Of course, when I walked past Mackenzie, she glared at me and held her nose. But I already knew I completely stank as a skater. She didn't have to remind me. Anyway, I cannot believe we're still in the show. Brandon is such a sweetheart. I could not believe he helped us out like that. 2 practice sessions down, and 1 to go. Woohoo! Saturday, December 28th. Brianna and I go sledding. A terrifying experience. Brianna, are you sure about Dead Man's Drop? It might be kind of scary for a little kid like you.
There it is!
Ready?
Whee! No!
To be continued. Sunday, December 29th. Brianna and I go sledding, a terrifying experience, continued. When we last saw our heroes, Brianna and Nikki, they were speeding down a towering cliff, about to plummet to their deaths. But just when it seemed like they were doomed...
Woohoo! Eek! Ah!
OMG! That was... awesome.
Let's do it again.
The end. Monday, December 30th. My parents' priorities are totally screwed up. Mom had to rush off to visit a friend who just had a baby, and Dad had an emergency call from some rich lady whose fancy dinner party had been crashed by some unexpected guests. About 2,000 aunts. Guess who got stuck babysitting Brianna? Me, that's who. Even though that meant I had to bring her with me to an extremely important practice session at the ice skating arena that involved $3,000 and possibly life and death. A new baby is born somewhere in the world every 7 seconds, and aunts will still be around even after a nuclear war. How in the world was what they were doing more important than what I was doing? Nikki, just call me on my cell phone when you're done with practice, Mom said as she pulled up in front of the arena. And Brianna, you be a good girl and mind your sister, okay?
Okay, Mommy.
Brianna beamed like a little angel. Then she turned and stuck her tongue out at me.
Nikki, can I play Princess Sugarplum on your phone?
Brianna asked as we entered the building. It was the 5th time she had asked me that today. No, Brianna, you're here to watch the ice skaters. Chloe and Zoe were already on the ice practicing, but when they saw Brianna, they rushed over and gave her a big hug. Brianna was fascinated by the skaters and sat quietly and watched. I could hardly believe she was behaving so well. About 25 minutes later, Victoria called our names. We're up, Zoe said with a nervous smile. Are you ready, Nikki? I took a deep breath and stepped forward to meet my destiny. I was so nervous, I thought I was going to lose my Egg McMuffin. I'd managed to get through the first 2 practices without Victoria tossing me out. but short of a major miracle, I thought it was finally the end of the line for me. Once she actually saw me skate, or more correctly, try to skate, I was so out of the show.
"Final call," Victoria said sharply. "Chloe, Zoe, and Nikki."
As we hustled onto the ice, Victoria watched us like a hawk. I tried my hardest not to fall. We were just about to get into our starting positions when suddenly there was a major disruption from the stands.
"Hey, you guys, I want to slide on the ice too."
I skated over, grabbed Brianna's hand, and escorted her back to her seat.
"Brianna, are you trying to get us kicked out of the show?" I hissed. "Sit right there and don't move."
She gave me her saddest puppy dog eyes.
"But Nikki, I want to slide on the ice with you, Chloe, and Zoe."
Victoria looked like she was going to blow a gasket. But since there was a camera crew nearby, she just stretched her lips into a cold, mannequin-like smile and batted her eyes really fast. As I turned to go back on the ice, a guy in a blue uniform stopped me.
"Excuse me, but I have a flower delivery for a Victoria Steele. It's from the mayor's office. I was told to leave them at the front desk, but it's closed. Do you know who she is?"
"Sure, she's right over there," I said, pointing. Victoria appeared to be doing an impromptu live interview with a TV reporter.
"Well, I don't want to interrupt her, but I'm running behind schedule on my deliveries. Could you do me a favor and see to it that she gets these?"
"No problem," I said. He placed a beautiful bouquet of 2 dozen pink roses on the seat next to Brianna.
"Ooh, those are really pretty,"
Brianna squealed.
"Are they yours?"
"No, they're for that lady over there," I said, pointing to Victoria. "I have to give them to her."
"Nikki, can I give them to her?"
Brianna asked excitedly. "Don't even think about it. Stay in your seat." That's when I got the most brilliant idea. "Actually, Brianna, it would be a big help if you'd take these flowers over to Victoria," I said happily.
"Goody gumdrops,"
she cheered. "But I need you to be really careful with them. I'm going to wave at you when it's time, okay?"
"Okay. Can I smell them too? I bet they smell like cotton candy or bubble gum."
I took my place on the ice next to Chloe and Zoe, but I was so nervous. I couldn't think straight. Just as the music was about to start, I waved at Brianna to signal her to take the flowers to Victoria. Only Brianna just smiled and waved back at me. I waved at her again, and this time pointed at the flowers. But Brianna just waved and pointed at the flowers too.
Just great! As music blared over the speakers, Chloe and Zoe moved gracefully over the ice. But I stood there, in my pose, waving my arms in slow motion and wishing I could skate over and strangle Brianna. After what seemed like forever, Brianna finally got a clue. She snatched up the bouquet of roses and trudged off toward Victoria. Brianna tugged on Victoria's coat, and when the woman turned around, a wide smile spread across her face.
"Psst," Chloe whispered.
"Nikki, skate."
I took off, gliding across the ice, immediately lost my balance, and fell to my knees. Brianna smiled and handed Victoria the bouquet of flowers.
"For me?"
She gushed like she had just been awarded another gold medal or something. Then I tripped over Chloe's foot, collided with Zoe, and slid across the ice on my butt. It was surreal. Totally flattered by Brianna's borrowed gift, Victoria grabbed a pen and paper and gave Brianna her autograph. And because Brianna was equally as vain as the celebrity skater, she insisted on giving Victoria her autograph too. Then Brianna gave Victoria a big hug. Of course, the TV cameras captured every second.
It seemed like all that gushing, hugging, and smiling went on, like, forever. Or at least long enough for us to finish our routine. Once again, we struck a fierce ending pose and waited breathlessly for the verdict.